and welcome to Pod's Own Country, the Yorkshire Post political podcast. I'm Gerry Scott, the Yorkshire Post Westminster correspondent, and this week my guest is the leader of the Yorkshire Party, Bob Buxton. Now look, Bob is standing in the West Yorkshire mayoral race, but that's not why I've got him on today. I wanted to speak to Bob because with the emergence of the Northern Independence Party, you might remember we had Felma Walker on, who is a member and former MP, a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to speak to him about really whether people care about whether their politics is done locally, nationally, and what that means for the electoral map. Now, look, in the interests of fairness, like I say, Bob is standing for the Yorkshire Party in the West Yorkshire mayoral election, and I'd like to tell you who he's standing against. So we've got Waj Ali for Reform UK, we've got Tracy Brabin for Labour, we've got Andrew Cooper for the Green Party, Stuart Galton for the Liberal Democrats, Therese Hurst for the English Democrats, Matt Robinson for the Conservatives. So that's who is standing. So you've got the full list there. But let's have a chat with Bob about exactly what it means to be a more localised party. I'm really, really glad to have Bob Buxton on from the Yorkshire Party this week. Bob, how are you doing?
I'm not bad, thanks. You know, very busy time, of course, but yeah, things are going quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we're going to get straight into everything that we want to dive into today, kind of straight away. But to start us off, do you want to tell me a bit about what the Yorkshire Party is? Now, don't get me wrong, I know, because we speak to you guys quite often. But if listeners haven't heard of you, who are the Yorkshire Party?
Okay, so we're a party of the centre ground, and we want more decisions to be made locally. So Scotland's got a lot of devolution, proper powers. They control their own fate, and we want the same things for Yorkshire. And it's not an unusual idea, because every other democracy in the world is less centralised than the UK. Mm. So we're the odd one out there. So to find a country that's more centralised than the UK, you have to go to a fascist state. And people like don't quite realise what we have isn't normal. Go to any other country you want, whether it's Spain or it's Germany or it's Switzerland, you'll find devolution is just normal. It's not even called devolution. It's just what normally is. So the Yorkshire Party came to existence because we realised Yorkshire wasn't being treated fairly. We couldn't stand up firm for ourselves. Transport spending per person is always a great deal lower than it is in London, for example. It was planned to be just 14% per person for the next 10 years. And since then, we've suffered a lot of cancellations. You know, Bradford's new station has been downgraded. Now it's probably going to be cancelled. And lots of other things being cancelled as well. So we're probably looking at about 10% per person on transport for the next 10 years. And it's been the same way in the past. So the party was formed because Yorkshire needed a stronger voice to fight for real devolution, much stronger than is an offer with the mayoral system. And we believe we can provide a good alternative to the big two and try and break that sort of two-party lock or even one-party lock that the Tories have now.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because a couple of weeks ago I had Felma Walker on, who you'll know as the former MP for Colne Valley, and then announced that she was standing for the Northern Independence Party in the Hartlepool by-election. But then, of course, they didn't get their party registered in time, so she's now standing as an independent, but as a member of them. I mean, this new Northern Independence Party has got a lot of coverage. Were you a bit like, well, we've been kind of banging the drum on this kind of thing for quite a while now?
Yeah, so let's just differentiate ourselves from Northern Independence Party. So they're talking about the same sorts of problems with the unfairness with representation and with spending. Fine. But of course, whilst we're a moderate party, centre-ground party, they're a socialist party. And of course, their solution is extreme. Mm-hmm. Their solution is independence for the North, which would wreck the economy. You'd create far more problems than you'd solve with that. And I rightly say they're still not a political party. They're still not registered. They could have registered back in the autumn. Instead, they formed a limited company. So anyone who gave them money, you gave your money to a limited company. And I think some section of the media, particularly the BBC, should make it very clear to people they were not a political party. They said the opposite. You know, they gave them a lot of coverage as though they were a political party and they weren't.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we disagree with them. We think independence would be ridiculous. We want proper, powerful devolution like every other region in democracies around the world has, and indeed Scotland has.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder why you think, because you've got plenty of, you've got a handful of councillors, haven't you? And I know we've spoken in the past about how you contest, really, am I right in saying all of the elections that come around in Yorkshire?
Yeah, pretty much all the elections. Yeah, we Absolutely. Three general elections have taken place since we were formed 7 years ago. Two European elections, all the council elections, absolutely. We contest everything. Political parties exist to contest and win elections. Mm. And the reason for that, before the Yorkshire Party, there was the Yorkshire Devolution Movement. Made the same arguments, but they weren't a political party. They didn't stand in elections. They were a sort of pressure group, if you like. And they realised that they had to contest elections to break through to the media and to speak to people. If someone was to leave it through your door saying, I'm standing for your local council, people take note of that. They're interested in that. And obviously our job is to get them to vote for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you argue at work, you're here talking to me today. So that's positive. But the reason I ask is because, you know, I wonder if you think what's going to happen after Hartlepool, right? So like I said, they've got Thelma Walker kind of as their candidate, but not really, definitely not officially, because like I said, they didn't register as a party in time, but she is standing kind of with their, you know, with their ideals and their policies. Do you think we'll see more of this Northern Independence Party after this, or are we looking at a bit of a kind of flash in the pan kind of situation here?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to say. I mean, the polling, the only poll I saw concerning Hartlepool, this is before it came apparent they weren't going to be registered in time, gave them 2%. Since they're not registered in time, it's going to confuse people because lots of independents. I imagine they might get less than that. Let's just compare the Yorkshire Party to Change UK. Mm. Now, they started off with 11 MPs. They got more publicity in the first day than we've probably ever had. They got donations, the odd council defected to them. And 10 months later, they didn't exist.
Yeah.
So if you get things wrong, you can go from a really high status, one of the biggest parties in the country in terms of MPs, to absolute nothing. If you get it right, you can do what the Yorkshire Party did, going from nothing to having counter-representation, all different levels across the three ridings. And indeed getting, you know, 50,000 votes in the Euros. I say I'm speaking to you now, I'm on BBC later on today, ITV tomorrow. And you can grow like that. Now, what will the Northern Independence Party do? Will they be organised or will they be disorganised? Well, the main thing I've got to go by, Jerry, is that they didn't manage to register their party. They should have done it back in the autumn and they'd be on the ballot papers. They didn't manage to register their name. Or, you know, people have been giving money to a limited company, which is just not on. So they don't appear to be terribly well organised. I mean, that might change. We don't know. But they've gone for the sensationalist approach, which tends to get short-term publicity, but doesn't get sustainable growth.
Yeah. And I wonder why you think the Yorkshire Party has been able to do that. Because like you say, you were, did you say 7 years ago? And before that, I know, the movement. But as a party, has it been kind of that, I don't know, slow and steady? Or is it because people, you know, obviously believe in the kind of things you're telling them on the doorstep as well?
Oh, yeah, ultimately, yeah. I mean, if people, you know, didn't agree with us, didn't vote for us, you know, it wouldn't be happening. And like I said, we got over 50,000 in the Euros. That was on a very, very low turnout and an issue which, you know, it wasn't a devolution issue, was it? It was a European issue.
Yeah.
So that was 50,000 with things not being, you know, being aligned against us. That was probably a low tide. So people are agreeing with us more and more. And in the last two general elections, in terms of number of votes, we've come sixth in England. That's the total number of votes. So, yeah, people are agreeing with us. Obviously, that you need that. If we weren't getting these sorts of results, if we got 5,000 years rather than 50,000, then, you know, it wouldn't be working. It's good old-fashioned Yorkshire stubbornness as well. I mean, I joined in 2014. All of us knew, you know, we're not going to win. We're not going to get a parliament for Yorkshire next year. It's going to be it's a long, long road.
We're not going to see you as that. Prime Minister next year, are we, Bob? Not yet.
that would be some strange coalition with that. But you know, we've got ourselves into a position where, you know, we are getting publicity, we are getting noticed, we are getting votes. You know, I'm contending, of course, in the West Yorkshire mayor election.
Yes.
And we've got councils, including the top level of council and the grassroots level of council as well, including myself. And it's been that gradual approach. At 1 year old, the party was 1 year old. We got our first town and parish councillors, including myself. And then, you know, it took a bit longer then to get to the higher levels, but you know, we're there now. And yeah, we are starting to build momentum. Mayor elections, Doncaster as well, we're contesting that. And, you know, we start to move towards competing properly to win in those elections.
Hmm.
So it's hard work. None of us get paid for being in the Yorkshire Party. So we've all got real jobs. I think that's also part of the appeal. I think people know, yeah, I teach engineering apprentices. I'm in engineering.
One of the bits that I'm really interested in with all of it is kind of your success, because I think, I mean, you obviously get exactly the same, but I think sometimes I've mentioned that, you know, the Yorkshire Party exists. As listeners will know, I work in Westminster for the majority of my time, and people kind of raise an eyebrow a little bit when they first hear about it. But you're obviously deadly serious and you've had a lot of success. What do you say to those people that raise an eyebrow?
I think this is the problem with bad politics, which I think we're getting from the big two parties, that's Labour in local government and Tories nationally. Mm-hmm. It's self-sustaining. It puts people off politics so much that some people aren't really interested in learning about a new party. And in many cases, not even interested in voting, because local elections and European elections tend to get about 33% turnout. And even last general election, I think it was only about 67%. So a whole third of eligible voters didn't bother. That's a huge number of people. The most popular vote at last general election was not casting a vote.
Yeah, that's mad.
So it is. It's very frustrating that because the people have been put off by politics. And what happened over Brexit? You know, I voted Remain, but I respected the result. And there are millions of people like me who couldn't understand why Westminster didn't move on to let's get a good deal now, and we could have got a much better deal than we've got, and which would have, you know, potentially pleased everyone, or at least pleased everyone to an extent. But that bad politics at Westminster just puts people off entirely. And I say to people, we haven't got a perfect model of democracy. First past the post is certainly not perfect. The mayoral model is certainly not perfect, but we are still a democracy and you still have a vote. And if you think politics is a bit rubbish at the moment, you can change that. You have to believe that you can change. You have to believe that going to the polling station or posting your vote is going to make a difference. But, you know, things do change. Democracy does still happen. Seats at local level, national, they do change hands. And so that's what I say to people. We formed this party because we felt we could do better for Yorkshire, better than the big two. And, just give us a chance. Read the leaflets, read the website. If you like it, great. Please vote for us. Think about joining us. If you don't like us, that's fair enough. But, you know, consider us and consider it. Look at any reasonable other party as well.
I wonder also what it means for, and, you know, you're speaking not as just as leader, but as a councillor and candidate yourself. I wonder what that means for your councillors and candidates to be a member of a smaller party. Is there more freedom? I mean, obviously you all are, you know, backing your same kind of pledges and things like that, but are you not as maybe constrained by the party whip as you might be if you were in Labour or the Conservatives?
Oh, there's no party whip. Not at all. Yeah. No, that's one thing we've always done this. We've actually put it into the constitution so it's clear there. So, for example, we've got two councillors on the East Riding.
Yeah.
I don't ring them up telling them what to do. Not at all. Not at all. No, they're represented by the people. The mandate they have from the people is what matters. They do their best. We trust them to act with good morals, you know, within the code of conduct, of course, to honour the pledges they made during their election campaign. But then, you know, if something comes up, a new issue comes up, they use their best judgment and vote the best way that they can. So, yeah, I didn't tell Tim Norman, Andy Walker, Irish Ryan Council, I didn't tell them I want you to declare a climate emergency. They decided they would do that. Twice the Tories blocked it. Third time, it got through. That's not acting on their own initiative, which is what you should have. So an elected member of the Yorkshire Party will never be told what to do by the party. They can ask if they want any sort of help, any support, if they want to run something by us. Of course they can. We're there to serve the elected representatives. But the mandate you get from the people who elected you is infinitely greater than the mandate you get from us being selected as a candidate.
So I think that's very interesting, because it feels to me, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but it feels to me that when we were talking about decentralisation at the start, you're kind of decentralising your own party as well.
Oh, yeah. We practice what we preach. So when we write policies, any member of the party can suggest a policy. So they might go to their, if we've got four sort of super branches for, you know, north, south, east, west, so they might suggest it there, and that feedback goes to the exec. If it's just sort of a single issue thing, they can just vote on that. And usually they agree with what the member says. If it's a whole policy document, so like a transport policy, you know, it's 100 policies put together. We'll have experts within the party writing that. Anyone can propose it. It goes to members for comment and amendments. And then finally, once we've done the amendments, it gets voted through by members. Mm-hmm. And And, you know, people engage, they take part with it. So it's very much a grassroots up. And like I say, with elected representatives, we trust them. There's obviously a code of conduct. If somebody was to do, it's never happened. If one of our councillors was to rob a bank or something, then obviously they'd be kicked out of the party. But we've never had to take any action against any of our elected representatives on any level at all. So that there is that. And, you know, we vet people before they get a candidacy from us. I think we're becoming better and better at that. And yes, then they are trusted. They have a mandate from the people. They can ask us for help if they need any. Doesn't usually happen, but exactly, they're trusted. And that's what people want. You want a local councillor who is standing up for you, for your community. Yeah. You don't want them following a party line.
Yeah.
And there shouldn't be one. And this is real devolution. So someone's like to a parish council, such as I am, I'll be doing what's best for Rawdon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how it always should be. I think some of the parties do that town and parish level, possibly in some of the better town and parish councils, but not so much at more the city council. For example, if we take I'll take one example of Leeds. When Labour came up with its housing plans, every Labour city councillor voted in favour of building on 37 greenbelt sites, and everybody else from every other party independents all voted against it. Now, those plans were so bad, they got defeated in court.
Mm.
You know, a tiny Ebra Neighbourhood Development Forum, tiny organisation, had to raise £10,000. They defeated them in court, but the Labour city councillors all followed the party line. Yeah. It's not on. You can't do that. You need people to put the people that voted for them, and even those who didn't vote for them, that are in their ward or in their constituency, need to put those people first before your party. For us, it's in the constitution. That is what you do. Other parties, not so much.
You used the phrase real devolution when you were speaking just then. Mm. And I know you mentioned it a little bit at the start, but I find it very interesting that, you know, you're standing in, obviously, the West Yorkshire race, as we spoke about, but you don't actually believe that the mayoral system's the best way. Do you want to tell me what you think is the best way? I think you touched on maybe a Yorkshire Parliament at the start.
That's right. A regional parliament for Yorkshire in the same style as Scotland. So with real powers and controlling the funding. Now, let's make the comparison with the mayoral deal.
Mm.
Now, the mayor can write a local transport plan. So the mayor can say, we should have a mass transit system for the whole of West Yorkshire, for every community across West Yorkshire. And they could do feasibility studies. They could do consultations and get everybody involved and consult experts. But there's no way they can build that because their budget, the new money the mayor controls, works out to being less than £16 per person per year.
Wow. Okay.
Now, think about the thousands of pounds you pay in tax each year. You got income tax, you know, your VAT, road tax, all the different taxes that you've got. The mayor's got less than 16 quid of that per person.
Yeah.
So how do we get the mass transit system built? Well, you've got to go cap in hand to Westminster. You're allowed to bid from the Urban Transport Fund, which is 4.2 billion, but it's still Westminster that decides whether you get it or not. And this is a government that's, you know, it's massive downgrade, going to postpone Brantford's new station, cancel Sheffield and Manchester Road. It's looking like just about certain it's going to cancel our leg of HS2. I don't trust them to do this. Now, what I will do if I'm elected, I'll try and make the best possible business case. I'll make it so overwhelmingly good that the Tories have to think, well, we're going to lose seats if we say no to this.
Yeah.
That's how you try and use that power. But it shouldn't be like that. It should be a parliament of proper representation with elements of PR as well. And that parliament decides how Yorkshire spends the share of the money which it pays, the taxes that we pay. We decide that. We want a mass transit system for West Yorkshire or for other bits of Yorkshire or other rail projects, Hull to Liverpool. We should make those decisions. And for the regions as well. I'm talking Hull to Liverpool. Well, that would mean that, you know, Lancashire should have a similar body, you know, work together. That's fine. And I think everyone agrees that we need these things. But the mayoral deal, I say that the powers are so limited. There's adult education, which is where I work. I'll develop adult education courses to fill skills gaps, help people get new jobs. But children's education, there's no power. You can try and use soft power, try and be an ambassador, but you haven't got actual power. Health, there's nothing. Yeah. Nothing at all. Yeah. So I can say, okay, on transport, I can try and help health workers with, you know, with transport costs or parking costs. I can try and do adult education courses to fill those health skills gaps as well. But, you know, I can't give nurses a pay rise. There's just no power to do it.
Mm.
That's not real devolution. Scotland has devolution. They don't pay tuition fees. They don't pay prescription fees. They reopened the Borders Railway about 4 or 5 years ago, very successfully. they can make the decision and do it. A mayor can say what they want to do, but they can't do it. It's still Westminster holding the purse strings. And it's not real devolution.
Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't mad, is it? Because, you know, I say to people all the time, well, actually, Yorkshire's population is larger than Scotland. So this isn't a kind of right. pie in the sky idea, is it?
Exactly right. It's the economy is twice the size of Wales. Population is larger than Scotland's. We've got the rights of neither. Yeah. Rights of neither. And if you look at Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland have devolution. And so does London, actually. People tend to forget London's the next most powerful devolution. Mm. So there is a part of England that has devolution, the Greater London area. So we don't even have that. And I mean, absolutely right. People, also, it's how people identify with politicians. If you ask them, do you like politicians? They'll probably just say no. Then you ask them, what about your parish council, town council? They might say, well, yeah, maybe local, you know, city councillors. And they might even like their own local MP, even if they're the same party, they may not like in government. So people, they like politicians they can identify with. Politicians who are dealing with their local issues. So you might get more of the politicians that you like, and you'd be taking powers away from the sorts of politicians that maybe you don't like so much.
Absolutely. And I guess one of the other kind of strings I wanted to pull on here today, and I think it all ties in, is we are hearing arguably more than we have in many, many years about concentrating resources on areas such as Yorkshire in the North with this levelling up agenda. Do you buy into that at all?
Well, it's not happening. It just isn't happening. I mean, we try and make up a decades of neglect. Mm. We've got a few marginal constituencies were targeted with extra promises before the last general election, and those marginals are still getting. It's called pork barreling. Basically, the government's spending money, tail up itself, win seats. And I'm not breaking that to you. That's well known. It's just levelling up. So as like I say, Sheffield and Manchester Road cancelled. Bradford City Centre Station. It was a really ambitious project. It was £4 billion. It was basically a sort of underground link, so the new station had been close to the interchange, so you had to walk from one to the other, and it was about transpiring connectivity, and that's being massively downgraded. It's almost certainly going to be cancelled now. HS2, our leg of HS2, it was the same legislation as Manchester's, but then they separated them. Why did they separate them? So they could approve Manchester's without approving ours. So that's gone. So levelling up, I'm sorry, just in those three projects alone, we could make the argument it's not happening. Other projects, the York to Beverley line had a massive setback, even though the local Tories want that, but national Tories don't. And that's actually quite a good point, because I think if you listen to local representatives from any reasonable party, Tories and Labour, you might get more agreement with local people than you would from national government. And if you have that regional parliament, it's accountable to local people just completely. It's completely accountable to local people. So they wouldn't vote people on the grounds of, you know, Brexit or, you know, whatever the next big national issue is. You're voting just for what you want to happen locally. And that actually is democracy. It's accountability. People get it wrong, they lose the seat. And at the moment, when people are focusing on national issues for Westminster, you know, you're not quite getting that focus. The councils, we have very large councils, of course, in some parts of West Yorkshire. You know, they haven't got the powers, the mayor hasn't got the powers to really do this. There's still that vacuum, and there's a lot of unelected people involved. So I'd be replacing unelected people with properly accountable people who are accountable to you and me. And people seem to forget that, even with the slight digression. On the combined authority, okay, the mayor will be elected and be chair of that. The mayor appoints a deputy mayor for police and crime. And then three people are appointed for, quote, political balance. And that's basically the Tories giving themselves two seats. Liberals will also get one, most likely. Might be Greens, who knows. But you've got these unelected people, and it doesn't really make any sense. If you actually read through the devolution deal in detail, who gets voting rights on what, it's excruciatingly contorted to try and make it make sense. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
Scottish Parliament, whatever you think of what they do, whatever you agree with those parties, democratically at least, it makes sense. You have votes, and that determines who represents you and who makes your decisions.
Yeah, I absolutely see what you mean. And I suppose my final kind of question that sums that up is, does this cut through to people? You know, you've spent obviously time virtually, I imagine, for most of it, but maybe now in person, knocking on people's doors for this campaign. Mm. Do people understand that? Or is it just, you know, you talk about it being contorted. Is it just too complex for normal people, you know, who have like normal lives, aren't like me and you, who dig our noses into these evolution deals and things like that, who have actual real life problems to worry about, that, you know, do people care, is essentially what I'm asking.
I think they do. I think the simplest piece of the argument is say, well, the mayor's got less than £16 per person per year, less than 16 quid. How are they going to build a mass transit system for that? They've got no powers for your kids' education. Mm-hmm. They've got no powers on health. I mean, that's the hot topic now. No powers at all. That is enough to define the mayor deal as being a very bad deal. And they also understand that Scotland has far more rights than we do and a much fairer share of public spending than we do. So that does get through to people. But also, I want to make this very important point. I was campaigning on Sunday in Hyde Park and heading over there with our candidate, Tyler Wilson. We weren't so much talking about the big issues, we're talking about the little issues. You want to see cleaner streets and cleaner parks. You want to have greater green bin provision around there. And also that talking about how students have been completely ripped off this year. So you talk about local issues. It isn't all about a regional parliament. It really isn't. The regional parliament is entered to improve transport, to improve green energy, all those sorts of things. So on the doorstep, yes, you mentioned those things when people ask, but you always focus on local issues. You know, winning a town or parish council seat is a win. And if you're interested in grassroots politics, then obviously we want to win those as well. I want town or parish councils to have more power than they do, of course, and that's a long-term aim. But, you know, I'm a parish council, I've achieved things, I've helped save the Green Belt. And that's a really nice level of politics. People do tend to work together far more. So, yeah, they react very well on the doorstep, actually. It's probably the best reactions I've had in 7 years of the Yorkshire Party, actually. So people are wanting to hear from us. And I think that they've reached the disillusionment point with the Tories in national government and Labour locally. But I think partly because of what's happened, the world's been so unusual for the past year, people are starting to think more towards change, taking a bit of a chance on a new party. More belief that things don't have to be the way they've always been. We've just seen a massive change for the whole world that no one really saw coming. So I think that basic argument for changing and trying to improve things is actually getting through better now than it ever has done.
Absolutely. I think the world has definitely changed. There's no arguing there. Look, Bob, it's been a real pleasure to have you on and to have a chat about the Yorkshire Party. And yeah, we'll speak to you soon.
No, thank you very much. Good talk to you. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you so much for listening to Podzone Country, the Yorkshire Post political podcast. I've been Jerry Scott, the Yorkshire Post Westminster correspondent, and you can find this podcast wherever you usually find your podcasts, whether that's iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon. We're on them all. And we would love it if you could leave us a review, subscribe, tell your friends, find us on Twitter. I'm at Jerry_E_L_Scott. And we will be back next week with another episode.